Another great parasha reading. While that was on, Malachi checked on the cost of the hospitalization a day in Israel is $2,100 roughly Australian per day, $1,500 American per day. And an Arab does not receive medical cards in Israel, so they have to pay the full amount. That's without treatment, that's without surgery and all of that sort of stuff. So the medical bills are going to be extremely high. So we need to pray that these will be covered by the believers of Israel, that they will just supply his needs and Yah will supply his needs through them. So I thought I'd just bring you that information. Today I want to speak about Korach and the life flowing from the throne. And I'm speaking out of Bamidbar as well as Yochanan. So let us start with the scriptures and then we'll go from there. In Bamidbar 17 verses 2 to 8 it says, "Speak to the children of Israel, take from them a rod from each other's house, all their leaders according to their father's houses, 12 rods. Write each one's name on his rod, and write Aharon's name on the rod of Levi, for there is one rod for the house of each father's house. You shall place them in the tent of meeting with before the witness, where I meet with you. It shall be that the rod of the man whom I choose buds, and I shall rid myself from the grumblings of the children of Israel, which they grumble against you." And Moshe spoke to the children of Israel and all their leaders. Leaders gave him a rod, for each leader according to their father's house, 12 rods. The rod of Aharon was among their rods. So Moshe placed the rods before Yehovah in the tent of the witness. And it came to be on the next day that Moshe went into the tent of the witness and saw that the rod of Aharon of the house of Levi had budded and brought forth buds and blossomed and bore ripe almonds. Now that is a huge miracle, just in itself. Yeah. And then John 15 verses 4 to 6 says, Yeshua is saying, "Stay in me, and I in you. As the branch is unable to bear fruit of itself unless it stays in the vine, so neither you unless you stay in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who stays in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Because without me you are able to do naught or nothing. If anyone does not stay in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. They gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned." And I just want to set the stage with those two scriptures that I've just read. But let us first go back to the thought about the rod of Levi that had brought forth buds and blossomed and bore ripe almonds when it was placed in the most holy place where the Ark of the Covenant was. I want to compare the scriptures with the words of Yeshua about the vine and the branches of Yochanan 15, where he said, "We are the branches." He was the vine. He said that the union of the branch to the vine would allow the branch to bring forth fruit. We all know that Abraham to have a son and bless the world, he would have to see a miracle to occur because he was of a ripe old age. This is the same thing Yeshua is speaking about in Yochanan 15. As the branch is united to the vine, we need to stay united with Yeshua to see miracles happen in our lives. So can you see how all of these stories in the scriptures point to the same message? As much as Abraham required a miracle to father a child at his old age, The branch needs life from the vine to bear fruit. And the rod of Levi experienced a miracle as well when it was placed in the most holy place before the ark. In order to understand the message from this story even more, I need you to notice some details about the ark. The ark was what the dead rod had to be placed in order for the miracle to occur. This miracle would show that those whom Yehovah chose to bless and make Kohanim. Yah's people are likewise known by a miraculous experience that people can see. The ark was where Yehovah's presence dwelt. But in order to have Yehovah's presence with them, each year sacrifices were made and blood was taken into the holy place and put upon the lid of the ark. As we know, this sacrifice was called atonement, and it was held at the time of the festival of Yom Kippur. It was necessary for Yehovah to be amongst his people. Atonement caused their sins to be taken away by sacrifice. As the blood that was presented to the ark's mercy seat was proof of that sacrifice and proof that sacrifice had occurred. If their sin was not taken away each year by this sacrifice, then Yehovah would not remain amongst his people and be in the midst of his tabernacle. So the sacrifice and the presentation of bloods was very important for them to enjoy Yehovah's presence and blessings in their midst. To me, this is the picture that the rod of Aharon was involved with when it was placed into the holiest place where it experienced a miracle. So this brings me to Revelation 22. Next slide. In Revelation 22, 1-5, Yochanan says, "And he showed me a river of water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of Elohim and of the Lamb. In the middle of the street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And no longer shall there be any curse, and the throne of Elohim and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be upon their foreheads. The night shall be no more, and they shall have no need for a lamp or the light of the sun, because Yehovah Elohim shall give them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." This scripture shows the throne of Yehovah Elohim, our Elohim, and of the Lamb, which represents Yeshua. And he said, "He showed me." Yochanan says Yeshua showed him the river of water of life, clear as crystal. All of this was in a vision that Yehovah gave Yochanan through the Ruach HaKodesh. To me, this vision is a message about the same truth of the story of Levi's rod. Levi's rod represented. In both the story of the rod of Aharon and the river of life in Revelation, we see a throne and the idea of sacrifice associated with that throne and life given to the wood to see it miraculously produce fruit. The throne is easy to recognize in Revelation 22. It simply says, "The throne of Elohim and of the Lamb." But the throne in the picture of the rod of Aharon is found in the form of the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark was a chest which had a lid on it, which was called the mercy seat. If we go to Shemot, Exodus 25, verses 17 to 21, and it says, "You shall make a lid of atonement of clean gold, 2.5 cubits long and 1.5 cubits wide. And you shall make 2 cherubim of gold, make them of beaten work at the 2 ends of the lid of atonement, and make 1 keruv at one end and another keruv at the other end. Make the cherubim from the lid of atonement at its two ends. And the cherubim shall be spreading out their wings above, covering the lid of the atonement with their wings, with their face towards each other. The faces of the cherubim turn towards the lid of atonement. And you shall put the lid of atonement on top of the ark and put it into the ark and put into the ark the witness which I gave you, which are that 10 mitzvot. The reason I know this represents the throne of Yah is because the cherubim on the mercy seat, whose wings cover the seat, are perfectly positioned in a picture that we get from Yeshayahu chapter 6. So if we can go there, please. In Yeshayahu, Isaiah chapter 6, 1 and 2, it says, "In the year that the sovereign Uzziyahu died, I saw Yehovah sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the Hekal." The Hekal is the holy place within the living temple, and not the most holy place. It is the throne room of Yah. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and two he covered his feet, and with the two he flew. Yeshayahu saw a throne with seraphim over the throne with wings. So the ark's mercy seat before which the rod was laid is showing the same idea as the throne of Yehovah and the Lamb in Revelation 22. But in Revelation 22 there's a river, and the river of life is flowing from that throne to connect it to the story of the rod, because the rod receives some kind of supernatural life from Yehovah in order for it to break forth into buds, to blossom and bear almonds or fruit. Since Yehovah's presence was manifested above the mercy seat, between the cherubim, then the life to resurrect the dead branch came from Yehovah's mercy seat or throne. We have the same idea in Revelation 22, which shows the river of life from the throne and the trees of life on either side of the river, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. Like the rod of Aharon, they are planted along both sides of the river, feeding from the river and producing fruit. We have to remember that the sacrifices were always associated with the mercy seat. The ark's mercy seat, before which the rod was placed, had atonement blood already sprinkled on it before the rod had been placed there. In Vayikra or Leviticus chapter 16 verse 15 it says, "And he shall slaughter the goat of the sin offering, which is before the people, and shall bring its blood inside the veil, and shall do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the lid of the atonement and in front of the lid of atonement." This sacrifice was necessary for Yehovah and Israel to be at one again. Sin separated them. But when sin was removed by sacrifice, Yehovah and Israel were made one, or were in unity, one with the other. The throne of Revelation 22 is called the throne of Yehovah and the Lamb. And we know that Yeshua is the Lamb of Yehovah through Yochanan the Immerser. So if we go to the next slide, please, in Yochanan, John chapter 1, verse 29. It says, "On the next day, Yochanan saw Yeshua coming towards him and said, 'See the Lamb of Elohim who takes away the sin of the world.'" And further in verse 36, it says, "And looking at Yeshua walking, he said, 'See the Lamb of Elohim.'" Yeshua was called a lamb, and because he was sacrificed like a lamb from the Tanakh to take away Israel's sin, and like the Kohen HaGadol or high priest, he took his own blood to heaven to show that payment was made for our sins and that he sits on the throne beside Yehovah. In Messianic Jews or Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 and 12, it says, "But the Messiah, having become a high priest of the coming good matters through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, entered into the most set apart place once and for all, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, having obtained everlasting redemption." Yeshua was both the sacrifice and the high priest who offered the blood. Just as the throne was Yehovah, was of Yehovah and the Lamb in Revelation 22, Yeshua took proof of his sacrifice of the people for the people's sins to the Father, and we read this in Revelation 3, verse 21. "To him who overcomes, I shall give to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." Yeshua sat down with the Father. So the sacrificed lamb is with Yehovah. The throne of Yehovah and the Lamb are together. And in Acts 2, verses 30 to 33, it says, "Being a prophet then, and knowing that Elohim had sworn with an oath to him of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, to raise up the Messiah to sit on the throne, foreseeing this, he spoke concerning the resurrection of the Messiah, that his being was neither left in the grave, nor did his flesh see corruption. Elohim has raised him up, this Yeshua, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of Elohim, and having received from the Father the promise of the set-apart Spirit, he poured out this which we now see and hear." He poured out is a perfect description of a river flowing from the throne. And notice what caused the Ruach HaKodesh to be poured out. It was Yeshua's resurrecting and going to the right-hand throne of Yehovah. Just as the Lamb went to the throne and sat down with Yehovah, Yeshua went to the throne and sat down and poured out of the set-apart Spirit, otherwise known as the Ruach HaKodesh. The river of life is the Ruach HaKodesh. That might sound like a bold statement. Best let us look at some scriptures from Yochanan. In Yochanan 4 and verse 14, it says, "But whoever drinks of the water I give, him shall certainly never thirst. And the water that I give him shall become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Yochanan John 7:37 to 39 says, "And on the last day, the great day of the festival, Yeshua stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me. Let him who believes in me drink. As the scripture said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water.' And this he said concerning the Ruach, or the Spirit, which those believing in him were about to receive, for that Ruach HaKodesh was not yet given, because Yeshua was not yet esteemed." When we read after the picture of the river from the throne, this is found in Revelation 22 and verse 17. "And the Spirit, or the Ruach, and the bride say, 'Come.' And he who fears him, let him say, 'Come.' He who thirsts, come. And he who desires it, take the water of life without paying." Revelation 22:17 is the same as Yochanan 7:37, which says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me." Therefore, I see it as the river is the Ruach HaKodesh. The trees of life on either side of the river is a type of Aharon's rod. The sacrifice did it all. It allowed for Yehovah's life to come into our lives again and resurrect us from a dead existence. We were once cut off from Yehovah, but now we are reconnected. The Ruach HaKodesh could not be given until Yeshua was glorified. Because when he was glorified, he went to the throne with the proof of his sacrifice. And like sprinkling the mercy seat with blood, he proved he paid the price and sat down from that throne, then from that throne came power. Power to give us life, like life to a dead stick. Power to cause that rod to bud, to blossom and bear fruit. Power to allow our lives to bud, to blossom and bear fruit. And this can only happen by union to Yeshua within our lives. Union to Yeshua is what redemption means. We become at one with him. We are created to live for Yehovah, receive life as much as a branch is created to stem out from a vine. The rod before the ark represents the believer who believes in union to Yehovah is possible because of the sacrifice of Yeshua. The Lamb on the throne is what caused us to be able to be at one with Yehovah and have his life. The blood on the mercy seat is what enabled the rod of Aharon to bud and bear fruit. And we bow down before the throne of Yehovah like the rod in recognition that we need Yehovah's power. We must never, never, never bend the knee for any other purpose. We recognize our dependency on Yehovah is necessary. The river is life, is like the sap from the vine that fills the branch. And we read in Revelation 22 and verse 3, no longer shall there be any curse, and the throne of Elohim and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. We should serve no other God but Yehovah and Yeshua. To bend the knee to any person or to anything else is bowing down to another God. We serve Yehovah like branches bowed down before the mercy seat. And there is not just one rod blossoming. There are trees of life all over the place, like the original tree in the Garden of Eden. We can walk after the flesh, or we can walk after the Ruach. That is our choice. Dependence upon Yehovah's flow is walking after the Ruach. I want to pray now for everyone listening who desires to look into their soul and believe for a concerted effort to follow the desires of Yehovah for all of his children to walk in the Ruach and not in our own fleshly desires. It's been difficult for people over these past 3 months as we've been forced by our governments all over the world to social distance, to wear masks in some countries. Praise Yah, we don't have to do it here because that inhibits our breathing. To be stayed at home, we cannot meet as a congregation. This is all forced upon us and it is all unconstitutional. I don't care what anyone says. But because of that, many of us are suffering. We're becoming dried up like that dead rod of Aharon before it's budded. I want to pray for each and every one of us now so that we can get refilled with that water into our innermost being, so that that river that flows from the throne of Yehovah fills us and our tanks are topped up and our desire to be for Yehovah and to be close to him, to his word, to be in prayer for others and even for ourselves, so that when we meet again, that we will just know that we're in the right place again. So let us pray. Abba Father, we come to you with contrite hearts at this time. We know that since we've been prevented from social gatherings, meeting together, that our souls have become a little drier and maybe even more wooden than we would like. We know that when we meet together that iron sharpens iron as we rub against each other weekly and we receive gems from you that we have been missing. Abba, if we have digressed in our walk or time with you each day, we ask for your forgiveness. We know that we need to make more of an effort to not just get into your word, but also meditate on what your word is saying to us each day. Abba, we ask for your strength at this time, as we are all being affected in different ways with social distancing and being prevented in doing what was our normal routine. We ask, Abba, that you will fill us afresh with your Ruach HaKodesh so that we can drink from the river flowing from your throne and be immersed in your river of life as we let go of anything of the flesh that prevents us being closer to you. Abba, we give you the glory for never forsaking us or leaving us at this time. And as we draw closer to you, we pray that our lives will be a witness to your power and your glory to those in our sphere of influence. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. I'm going to finish with a song that I've prayed before, but I've got a different version of it this time. And it's called There Is a River. But in the last of this is done in a congregation, and the congregation joins in and sings the last bit of verse. I'm hoping that as you hear this song, that you sing along with it and that you join in at the end as well. So if you'd like to play that.
It flows. There is a vast, there is a